welcome to another episode of Rustation Station. I'm your host, Alan Wima. Today we have Orhun Parmakis. Sorry if I butchered it a bit. Maybe it's better you introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. Orhun Parmakis here. And today we're going to talk about twees and ratatouille.
Yeah, ratatouille. I love the name. You know, it's interesting. I started punching in ratatouille. I knew I was spelling it correct, but Google still wanted me to write ratatouille, like the name of the city or the movie or the mouse, that other way, right?
One funny thing before we move on. There was a funny anecdote from someone in the Discord server of Ratatouille. They always search Ratatouille Git. And there's, a character called Git in the actual Ratatouille. And it's like a very funny looking character. And every time they search for Ratatouille, it's just this character just keep looking at them from Google Images. Just funny.
Yeah, there is. It's also written the same way, G-I-T.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, the word git, I've heard, is like British slang for like a stupid person. So, you know, I never heard that word before and I never heard it since in that context once I looked it up. But it's good marketing, I suppose.
Yep.
I believe you're stepping up in terms of like the project, right? You're not the creator of this project, but you're taking on more and more initiative within the project now.
Yes. So before Ratatouille, there was TuiRS, which was created by Florian. And this was the most widely used TUI framework for Rust projects. And it was unmaintained. And in some issue, the creator of the project wanted to discuss the possibility of creating a community around this. And me and a couple of other people, we wanted to explore this more. We also like talked this with the creator, but he was kind of busy at the time. So we kind of took the initiative to build a community around it. We forked the project and renamed it actually to TuiRS Revival because there was no like Ratatouille name at that time. And, you know, created a Discord and people wanted to join. We like forked the project and like transferred all the issues and pull requests. And over time, someone came up with the name Ratatouille. We had a poll actually for renaming the project and it was just the perfect name. Someone else designed a logo. We also had a poll for that. And we kind of moved on with a separate project from TuiRS, but it is based on Florian's work. And we just have this very nice community around Rust and Tui people, I would say.
I have quite a few questions over here, right? Maybe we should kind of wind back because maybe not everybody knows what is Tui, right? Even for me, if you just said, hey, you know what a Tui is, I'd think about it sometime. Maybe it not even come to my mind, even though I know what this thing is. You know, what exactly is Tui, T-U-I?
So TUI is, it's an acronym for Terminal User Interface. It's like basically like a UI in your terminal. And how that works is that we use basic characters to draw something like a UI. And you can use your like keyboard or mouse to click things or move around or navigate. So we use the terminal to present you a usable interface, I would say. So TUI is basically that, and Ratatouille is the framework or library that is making you able to build these user interfaces. One example of that is, so in terminal, you know, we don't have like UI widgets or we don't have like graphical things. We have just the characters. So we use like the pipe character to like draw borders, for example, or we use like UI looking characters to show you basically like some widgets. And at the end of the day, it's very much like a GUI, but everything happens in the terminal.
That's a pretty good explanation. And people may be wondering, you know, I could just do text-based myself, but it's kind of like you said, it's more than just showing data and accepting data. Like it does seem like an actual like GUI kind of framework and what people would consider with buttons and all this kind of stuff. I mean, if you go to ratatouille.rs, that GIF or GIF you have in the middle really starts to show some of the features that it does have, right? Like you have this multicolored background. And like, you know, doing that by hand is not going to be easy, but it seems like it's pretty easy with here. And it's like you can do charts. You have this kind of like menu section. It's kind of like, you know, having your own DOS, but even more powerful with the design work that you can probably do with it. That seems like a lot of work involved, right? How much of Ratatouille right now is actually just stuff written from a long time ago with TuiRS?
First of all, Tui is not a new concept. It's been around for decades, but even like in the 90s, we had these DOS UIs. One good example is these editors that we had, you know, with the blue background and stuff like that. So we were able to do these types of stuff for a long time. And in the Rust world, there were a couple of terminal manipulation libraries. One of them is CrossTerm, and it was just aimed to give you the full control of the terminal, meaning that it uses ANSI escape codes to draw something or like change the mode of the terminal and so on. And later on in TuiRS, what Florian did is that take that logic, take that backend, and build some widgets on top of that. So in Ratatouille, we support multiple backends. Like I said, we use CrossTerm to manipulate the library, and we use some kind of like rendering mechanism. It's called immediate mode rendering, and we use that to render some widgets on top of it. So it basically works like that. And like you said, we have like numerous widgets. We have list, table, charts, and so on. So all the heavy lifting is handled by some backend, like CrossTerm or like Termion and so on. And Ratatouille is only responsible for drawing the actual UI on your terminal. What's fun about this is that you can also implement your own backend. Let's say you have this system where you draw something to somewhere. You just implement the backend trait from Ratatouille, and you can use Ratatouille on that system as well.
That's quite interesting, right? So how complicated is it to actually implement that? Like, what kinds of functions do you need to actually implement in order to be able to make a backend? Is there a lot? Is it like 100? Is it like 5? And then also, what kind of functions are those?
Let me actually pull up the documentation because I don't want to misinform people. So we have actually around like 10 functions. And the most important one is the draw function. So most of our backends, all the logic happens in this function. So it takes content, and basically the content is like an iterator over cells. So in terminal, you have some cells, and with some logic, you draw onto these cells. And the other stuff is basically like hiding the cursor or like window size related functions, and like flashing the terminal and stuff like that. So there's only one big part, which is the draw function, that is required to implement this backend trait. So it's pretty straightforward, I would say.
It doesn't sound too complicated, just 10 functions, right? But you mentioned before we started recording that TUI also can run in the web. Is that right?
Yes. There was one interesting project. It's a full stack blog, actually, that is running on Ratatouille and U framework. And what they did is actually they took this backend struct and they hooked it up to some browser functions, I'm assuming that, and those are coming from you. I am not 100% sure, but they took that and like hooked it up to the browser functions so that the browser actually acting as a terminal. And you can actually do the same with other systems as well.
Now, how does that work? I mean, how do you hook it up to the browser? You just implement those 10 function traits, or is it something else?
Yeah, you simply implement that. And when you create a Ratatouille application, you just say that I want to use my custom backend. And, you know, everything is generic. So every widget that you have is now rendered onto this new backend that you created. And if I had to guess, what they did is actually have like an area on the browser, on the web page, and give it to Ratatouille and say that this is your terminal. These are the cells that you need to render, and use that to render whatever widget that you want to render.
Is this thing still up that people can see it? I'm just kind of curious what this would even look like.
Yep, I can share it with you.
Sure. I'm curious about how that actually works. So it's just basically rendering probably a bunch of HTML, or is it rendering an SVG, or you're not too sure?
I'm not really sure about this. There's actually a blog post in the blog that is explaining all of this. So,
okay. While you're looking at that, maybe, you know, I'll start asking my next question. Originally called TuiRS, and I think that's a great name because a lot of stuff in Rust has that RS at the end. And you guys, you basically did a rebrand. That's kind of dangerous because, you know, you have to let everybody know who knew TuiRS that, you know, this is now Ratatouille. Why even bother to rebrand? I mean, it sounded like the original author is open to passing us off to somebody else who can take over. So why is it that you guys felt it was necessary to change the name?
That's a good question. So while we were discussing the possibility of forking the project in the issue, the author actually suggested that we can create a new organization and transfer the project there and have like members in the organization and so on. And we agreed to that, but he kind of got too busy, I guess, and the time and, you know, the clock was ticking and people started to fork the project already. And we wanted to have like a central place of development. So we first forked it as 2ERS Revival. And our plan was to actually upstream our changes when the author was back. And we started, you know, developing things on this new organization. And after some time, we didn't really hear from him. And we were just, you know, developing this library now. And we had to make some decisions whether if we want to be the continuation of this library or whether if we want to become a like another project. And one of the things that we needed to decide was the versioning, because whether if we were going to like start from 0.1 or we will be just, you know, incrementing the already existing version. I think it was 0.19 or 18 at the time. So we had polls for all of these decisions. And the final decision was that we wanted to continue with the already existing versions. And this meant that we will be the continuation of 2ERS. But, you know, when you get like no response from the author and things were just going and we started like creating versions and just acting like a separate project, after some time, we decided to rebrand. And we always like gave credit to the original author, because without him, none of this would be possible. And we just, you know, moved on like that. As you said, it's kind of a risky thing to do. But if Ratatouille goes unmaintained tomorrow, same thing can happen. Someone can just fork it and rebrand and go with their own project as well. So it's actually a advantage or disadvantage of open source, I would say.
So my understanding is that he didn't want somebody to take it over and then he became unavailable. So you had to make a choice like, okay, we want to keep this thing going, but he's not letting us upstream. He's in charge. So we really need to, you know, do our own thing, right? That definitely makes sense. But he did come back and mark that project as unmaintained eventually. So was that much time later or pretty soon?
I think it was like a couple of versions after Ratatouille. One day we just appeared and committed a change to README and archive the project and said that Ratatouille is the successor now, because at that point everyone was already migrating to Ratatouille. And I think it was like a couple of months later, and it was just pretty obvious that this community project will be the successor because there was no other effort going on. So yeah,
it's too bad that he couldn't keep it going, because you guys loved it enough that you kept it going. I'm kind of curious about the feeling of continuing somebody else's work, because it's like it, you idolized it, you just wanted to kind of help it out. And then it's like, okay, now we need to kind of take the reins and run with this project. I mean, to me, I'd probably have a little bit of imposter syndrome, let alone like, you know, we want to do this feature, but is this actually the right thing to do? Are we implementing this correctly? Are we doing the right thing? Like, how has that process been?
If it was just me, I think it would be so hard. But luckily, there are like a lot of interested people involved in this project, and we have like a great team of people, and new people always come in and they want to like contribute. They just, you know, provide ideas to us and they use Ratatouille, give feedback. So it's actually a bit comforting when it's like a community effort. And I wish the original author was involved, but we reached out to him a couple of times. He's just too busy, and he's actually pretty happy with our efforts too. So we feel good about this. And when it comes to decision making, it's just, you know, a matter of having discussions. We have like a lot of discussions in the issues. And yeah, everyone is welcome to join as well. Sometimes someone is contributing frequently. We say that, let's make you like a maintainer so that you can do more. And they agree to it most of the time. And that's how we just, you know, expand, and that's how we do things. It's like the fully open source mindset, I would say. No one is doing anything for money or anything. Everyone's just enjoying their work, which is, I think, the most important.
What I think is even more important is that the amount of documentation you guys have is really amazing. A lot of projects just don't have that, right? But you guys have quite a lot. I mean, has it just been a couple of people working on the documentation? How did that kind of get going? Because I'm sure you guys didn't have that much. You probably just had, you know, docs only, Rust docs, I'm guessing, at the beginning.
Yeah, there was like no documentation. There were just examples and a couple of apps that you could look into. But then when we just started Ratatouille, some people took the initiative to actually write some docs, and it took a bit of time. But yeah, just shout out to them. Now we have this awesome docs explaining most of the concepts and giving beautiful examples. So yeah, it's just the work of a couple of people. We also like worked on our website a lot, I would say. We changed some technologies and we like try to make it more shiny and beautiful. So shout out to the people who were just interested, you know?
Yeah, it definitely looks like a really great website. I always hear you saying like, you know, you took a poll for this, poll for that, kind of checked around the community, see, how is that process? Is there like a lot of people that chimed in? How to like manage all this stuff? And how much time do you give for everybody to reply? Because, you know, everybody's working asynchronously and busy and everything else. To me, I think to myself, that sounds like such a headache to check in with so many people. Even with five people, it still takes a lot of time and you're, you know, waiting for this kind of stuff. How has that been?
So in the beginning, it was just too hard to make decisions because maybe I want to do something and some people wanted to do other things. So there were a lot of uncertainties. So we had to have these polls. And for example, we wanted to have a meeting, you know, we want to just get together and talk about stuff. We had a poll asking which day should we have that and like give a couple of days to it and just act based on that. And when it comes to other things such as the name, there were a lot of suggestions, a lot of clever suggestions as well. So we were having trouble choosing something. So we just had to, you know, run this poll for a week or so. And actually, we did two polls for the name because Ratatouille was one of the names that were suggested at last. So we had to like decide on that. But these days, there are not much of polls, I would say, because the structure is now very clear. You know, who is doing the work, who is maintaining stuff. And these days, we just focus on development and getting things moving.
For working on this project, right, you have quite a few, actually, you have a lot of issues here. Even some back from February and so forth, it looks like you can use some help, right? And I can imagine a lot of people who are maybe new to Rust are looking for projects to commit to. I mean, not like commit themselves to, but at least do some work for just to kind of get into Rust or, you know, anything else. Does it take a lot of Rust experience to work on a TUI framework like Ratatouille?
It's actually not much Rust experience needed because it's very straightforward, I would say. The logic is very simple and code is well documented, so you can just jump in. Like you said, there are a lot of issues that we need to work on and we need a lot of ideas as well. So if you have like ideas and if you want to write Rust, it will be fairly simple to just jump in. And we also help people contribute for the first time. We guide them through things and we make them finish their PRs and so on. So the entry level is like not very high. And also one other thing that I want to add, recently I've been seeing on social media that people saying that they want to write Rust because they see the tools that are built with Ratatouille, TUI tools and stuff like that. And some people actually wrote their first ever Rust project in Ratatouille, which is a great thing, which shows that it's not that hard of a, you know, start a TUI project as your first Rust project. And it was actually the case for me as well. My first ever Rust project was a TUI project, which was built on top of TUI RS. So the learning curve of Rust is also like different from other languages, but when it comes to TUIs, I think it's a good way to start writing Rust and also contributing.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, right? I would think for a lot of projects, something like, you know, Tori or even Electron would be easier to do. How would you compare yourselves with those kinds of tools? Because it seems like a little bit harder to do everything with Rust, considering you have Borrow Checker and everything else, right?
Yeah, the advantages are pretty high, I would say, when you just build TUIs. And at the end of the day, you have this very low resource consuming thing, and it's very fast. And, you know, learning Rust is sometimes might be painful, but when you think about the reward at the end, it's actually more motivating because you'll have this thing running on the terminal. It's a UI and it's like running very fast compared to other frameworks. And I think that's the part where it motivates people. So definitely might be harder, but it's worth the hustle.
how common are TUI apps these days? Because I feel like more and more it's easier to kind of build traditional desktop GUI apps rather than something using a TUI style, right?
Yeah. When you think about TUIs, most people are using TUIs for their development purposes, like system tools and so on. And I see that it's getting more common with Ratatouille and from like, you know, other TUI libraries such as Bubble Tea from Charm. There are like a lot of other apps that are aiming to do more stuff on other contexts, such as, you know, there are some games now which are running in the terminal built with Ratatouille. There are like productivity apps. There is Atwin from Ellie. It's a pretty good terminal shell history helper tool. And they're getting more common because they are better in terms of productivity, usability, resource consumption. They run on many things. So they are getting more common. And on my socials, I actually try to show that to people by sharing the TUI tools that I came across. And yeah, people are just loving it. And we're just happy to see more TUI tools coming up in the recent days.
I mean, they're a little bit more portable too in that aspect, right? Because I suppose you don't really necessarily need a GPU to run this kind of stuff, right? You're just kind of running off a terminal. It's just using characters now.
Yeah, exactly. You can run TUIs on servers. You can even like run TUIs on like true SSH connection as well.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good example of that. There's one multiplayer game where you just SSH through some server, just, you know, connects you with another player and you can play it on the terminal and everything is running through SSH. So it's possible.
Can you use Ratatouille to like recreate that whole Star Wars over Telnet thing? Or I suppose you could, right?
Yeah, you would probably do that and you can. It would be just better, running faster probably.
Yeah, but that would take a long time to do.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious how long it took that guy to do it. For TUI development, right, I'm just kind of curious about, is there any tools if you design something with like a picture that you can convert that into text because you have like the ASCII art thing, right? Is there something similar for Ratatouille that if you had some design that you created that you can spit that out into something, or maybe not possible because that's more like really just creating, you know, art with characters rather than kind of going the other way?
It's possible. I actually had a recent project where I wanted to have like a splash screen in the terminal. When you run something, I want to like show an image and just wait for a couple of seconds. So I made this happen with Ratatouille. I used the canvas widget, and canvas widget makes you able to draw anything on the terminal with some coordinates. So I take this image and I convert it to like the color coordinates, and I just draw it with Ratatouille and you have pretty much graphics. It's called Ratatouille Splash Screen. And there are like other examples of that too. You can even use like ANSI escape codes to draw something as well. And there are like other examples too. So it's possible, yes.
Okay, interesting. Now for Ratatouille, it seems quite popular. And you did mention like some competitors, right? We were talking before the show about Bubble Tea, right, for Go. How feature pair are they? Like how similar are they? Can they both do exactly the same thing and just obviously different languages, different ways? Because Bubble Tea is basically, you know, Ratatouille, but for Golang, right?
Yes and no. And I don't want to like talk about them as a competitor. Shout out to them. They're just doing great work. And I think they're more like high level rather than Ratatouille, because Ratatouille is like I said, we have this backend and we use that to draw widgets. But Bubble Tea, I think it provides more boilerplate and makes you able to do stuff more quickly. And, you know, when you're doing things in Rust, it might take more time and like more effort. So there are like comparisons between us and them. And on some aspects, we look up to them, try to take some pages from their book, try to apply different approaches. So yeah, I need to like have like a experience with Bubble Tea before I can speak more on the detailed technical topics. But yeah.
Yeah, I do think I know what you're talking about when you say that. Because when I saw Bubble Tea, I'm not even sure if it was even called Bubble Tea. I might have seen something else because I like we were talking before the show. I think they have like a bunch of different ecosystem names with sweet things. And I couldn't remember which one was which. I thought one was called ice cream or something. And it seemed like they were really into showing off a TUI application. Like they were just doing all kinds of interesting stuff and it seemed so effortless seeing it. And I guess what you said makes sense then. It's like higher level kind of providing to you so many more widgets and things like that, right?
I think it's more glossy than Ratatouille because in Ratatouille, if you want to build similar things, you need to like do more things in Rust. And we usually focus more on the usability and like the performance aspect. And we should probably like show off a bit more the fancy stuff, because most of the tools that are built with Ratatouille, they're like system tools and they are just doing their jobs, and that's pretty much it. And they're doing their jobs pretty good. But on the prettifying aspect of things, we should probably like focus on that a bit more.
I mean, is there going to be plans to have this kind of, you know, more show-offy kind of libraries that people can pull in and do some interesting things with, or that's not part of the plan at the moment?
We haven't discussed this, I would say. I should probably bring this up with people and talk about it. I would love to see like more glossy stuff in the terminal.
I did hear that you guys have an announcement to make about, you know, the current status of the project now.
Yeah, we recently received a funding donation from Radical, radical.xyz. And they were just kind enough to give us some financial source so that we can, you know, keep doing what we're doing. It's not like we're just now funded, we will start a company type of thing. It's like a sponsorship type thing, because we are their critical dependencies, and they wanted us to keep maintaining it. And I wrote a blog post about what we're going to do with this funding, and it will be mostly like our expenses and stuff like that. And maybe we will fund some people doing interesting TUI work, for example, some game engine in the terminal or some like web stuff. That would be pretty nice to have. And we're just happy to use that for expanding Ratatouille a bit more. And yeah, we'll see. We still have sponsors on GitHub and stuff like that, and we just appreciate that. We'll use that in the best way possible.
What kinds of expenses do you have? Is it just the web hosting, or do you have some CI servers that you're running? What kinds of expenses does Ratatouille have?
That's the funny part. We don't have much expenses right now. We just paid for the domain, and we pay for some GitHub services right now. And when you like receive a funding like that, it's hard to allocate that, because I mean, we don't really burn money, but it's good to have in case we do more things with it, in case, you know, we do some marketing efforts and maybe some merchandise as well. That would be fun to have some, you know, Ratatouille t-shirts and stuff like that, stickers. So, but not big expenses for now.
Yeah, or maybe you can invest it into something and make even more returns later on. Could be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
I was familiar with Ratatouille and similar frameworks, and it's interesting to see what happened to this, because I do remember TUIRS, and it's definitely some pretty cool stuff, and I'm happy to see that it's still going. It seems like it's even more better than it used to be with all the effort you guys have been putting in.
Yeah, we're just happy to have this community around it, and people are really excited to build TUIs, and every day I like came across something new. We actually built a bot that notify us when a new project is created based on Ratatouille, and there are like very interesting stuff happening. And recently there was an engineer from Netflix, he created a tool using Ratatouille, and now it's mentioned in their tech blog, which is pretty cool. So seeing higher adoption is definitely makes us motivated to keep building this library.
Yeah, I was just looking at the website you sent to me. It's pretty cool. The one about the Ratatouille in the browser. Seems like it actually creates HTML, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a full-fledged, you know, full-stack project, which is based on Ratatouille. And it's pretty exciting to see. There were also like other efforts regarding bringing Ratatouille to WASM and rendering stuff. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the future.
Cool. Yeah, I don't think I have any more questions. Did we touch on everything you want to touch on? Is there something that you wanted to announce? Anything else?
I think we talked about many things. And yeah, I just want to say that if you're like interested in building TUIs or just contributing to Rust or just writing Rust, feel free to join our communities and yeah, share your ideas. And we'll see. We'll just pretty happy to see the future.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to go to the website. It's just ratatouille.rs, so ratatouille.rs. Awesome website. for a Rust project. We don't always have these kind of things. And then from there, you can see all the different things. You got a Discord, you got GitHub, there's Mastodon, Matrix, Fostodon, Twitter. You got them all. LinkedIn too. Oh, it's interesting. I didn't know you had a LinkedIn for Ratatouille, but that's pretty cool. You're the only employee, it looks like, though.
Yeah, I should probably have more people there. Shout out to our maintainers, by the way, KD, Josh, Valentin, all those great people that make all of this possible. I should add them to there as well. I don't know why they are not there.
I don't know. You're by yourself. I thought that was a little bit interesting, but
I'm kind of responsible for socials myself. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks for coming on and talking about Ratatouille. It's good to see that TUI RS is still moving on with it. I would have to say it's even better name. Great name choice, of course. It's a good thing you guys had the second round and you got this name instead. Yeah, and I wish you guys good luck. And I think someday I'll actually have to try to play with this because I've been wanting to create some stuff in Rust. And I think TUI would be easier than some others with Rust.
Yep, definitely. Go for it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.